जयो राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, गोपी जन वल्लव गिरिवरधारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुनतीरवन चारे तीरा वनचारे, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज विहारी, जन वल्लव गिरिवरधारी, गोपी जन वल्लव गिरिवरधारी, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यशोदनंदन व्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वन चारे, यमुना तीर वन चारे, हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, जयम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्रजकाचार्य सत्रसत श्री श्रीमादे श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय, ग्रांतरा श्रीमद भागवतम की जय, गौरभक्तवृंद की जय, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द सिंबल डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु गौरांग। Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Today, in the is, I want to share with you something before the start of the Srimad Bhagavatam class. Today is very special to me because it's my first Srimad Bhagavatam class in English. So it's good for me. It's good for me, but it's bad for you. So try to catch the general idea. Yes? Okay. I like to share with you something about an article that I read. And to me it's very interesting and very important too, and I think that it's very interesting for you. It will be very interesting for you. And I want to share this article with you, and I have to do a question before. We have nine different activities in the Bhakti Yoga, right? Sravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. The question is, which of all these activities is the most important in this age of Kali Yuga? Yes, Prabhu? Sravanam? Hearing? Yes, Kirtanam, say. Okay. Kirtanam. Sravanam, Kirtanam. Jai Jagannath Prabhu, in previous classes, he always remarked this point. The hearing process is the most important thing in this process, at least in this age of Kali Yuga. And because this important is so important, we must care our hearing sense. And this article that I'm going to read now is something about this. I'm not going to read the complete article, but if you are interested, you can watch after the class. And I'm going to read just some important points. And this is a preliminary report by His Holiness Jayadvaita Swami. It's a very famous magazine in ISKCON. It's "Hope this meets you in good health." Do you know this phrase? Yes? Prabhupada used to write this phrase at the end of the letters. "Hope this meets you in good health." And this is a newsletter of ISKCON, Health and Welfare Ministry. This article is, listen this, from 4 December 1994. Practically 19 years ago. We have, in 2 months, we are going to entrance in the new year, 2014. Practically 20 years. It's a very sad situation because we need to remember these things 20 years later. What do you think? But let me show you the article. The title is, pay attention please, it's very, very important. Noise-induced hearing loss. Jayadvaita Maharaj said, "Last month, an audiologist confirmed to me something I suspect. I have partially lost my hearing. One may lose one's hearing for many reasons, because of disease or old age or blow to the head or close exposure to sound at blasts or gunshots. But tests of my hearing show the typical signature of another kind of problem, hearing loss from prolonged exposure to noise. Well, it doesn't have to be noise, by which I mean disturbing or unpleasant sounds. One can also lose one's hearing because of sounds one might find pleasant, like the sound of rock music or classical, or drums and cartas. Have you ever made this question? Listen, how loud is an ISKCON kirtan? Have you ever made this question to you? Yes, Prabhu? Yes. Mm-hmm. Prabhu? Yes. Yes, listen this. I can't say for everywhere, but according to a series of readings with the sound level meter, here's what is in the temple room in Alachua. A typical Guru Puja Kirtan with three drums, we have three drums there. With two or three sets of kartas, we have three or four sets of kartas there. With two motorized wampers, we have wampers too. And the usual amplifications comes to around 100 decibels with a sustained crescendo of 1/6 or 1/10, or 106 or 110. And there is in an article a very nice graphic with the different decibels and start of unsafe levels. First of all, 90 decibels, like a motorcycle or like a city traffic here in downtown Chicago, for example. Then 100 decibels, like riveting machine. No? It's similar to the kirtan, no? In ISKCON temple. 110 is a thunder, for example, or amplified rock music. And it's similar to a kirtan, ISKCON kirtan. And if we add 10 more decibels, guess what? Jet take off. It's similar. It's very similar. And if we add 5 more decibels, listen this, pain threshold. So let me read this very interesting. What this means to ISKCON, this. How all this pertains to ISKCON should be now be reasonably obvious. As part of our prescribed routine program, we do kirtan every day here in the temple. This is our daily duty. So we expose ourselves and those for whom we are responsible to levels of sound well within the range where loss of hearing should be a matter of concern. Drums and kartas are allowed to be with. And lately, kartas and giant size have come to be something of a fashion. Then said, and then we electronically amplify this sound. It's very dangerous. Beyond this, devotees generally have little or no education about what the physical effects of loud sound on the ears can be. And so during kirtan, we turn up the volume to maximum. So we sometimes have ill-informed ideas about how to express our ecstasy. And then, this is very important. We are responsible, of course, for a large number of people, including children. We want them to be fit in a healthy for devotional service. And we are ethically accountable for their welfare and often legally so as well. Apart from that, we can suppose that people more cautiously provocative or their hearing may be hesitant to join in this Hare Krishna movement as word gets around that a disappropriate number of its members eventually need hearing aids and acoustic earmuffs. I remember that this is I want to invite you. I want to share this article with you with love and respect to you, and I want to invite you to be more conscious about how you use our instruments to glorify Krishna. Because, for example, tomorrow we are going to have a big feast, no? Like Govardhan Puja. And we have children in the temple's room hanging around and different things. And it's very dangerous for them, and it's very dangerous for us. And we don't want to be the cause of the hearing loss of someone else. Or yes? No. And finally, these final words are very, very interesting. There, now, says Jayadeva Maharaj, I hope I have alerted you and somewhat informed you. Take it lightly if you will. But we be were warned. If you ignore all this, soon you and other devotees may wind upon expanding the ocean of Krishna glories by often repeating a new mantra. Could you say that again? So this is very nice article, and can help us to be more conscious about how we use the instrument for glorify Krishna. Because it's our duty, but we have to know how to do it in the proper way. No, I mean, for example, the other day I told you, one devotee, please don't clap your hands so strong in the morning in the Mangalarti. For various reasons, because first of all, we are waking up the deities, no? And if you like to wake up with a big applause, no? It's like Chaitanya, no? It's disturbing, very disturbing. And another thing, the last MSF, I was in the, not in the last MSF, another MSF, we was doing Harinam Kirtan in the train. We took the train, and we went to downtown. And I realized, seeing the faces, people, that we was disturbing them. Okay, we was doing Harinam Kirtan. No, we was Jeev Jago. No, wake up, no, spiritual souls. But we always said this prayer in the morning. I offer my respectful obeisances, no, to all the devotees, Vaishnavas of the Lord, my respectful obeisances, and to the spiritual master, my respectful to the other living entities. So the question is, this respectful is theoretically or practically for us? I was embarrassed when we was doing Harinam in the train. No? Oh, poor people. No? We was with the instruments, playing very loud. So I start to think about this. And I want to share it with you because I think this is interest, is helpful. And just to be more conscious about this. So thanks for pay attention in this. And now the verse today, very interesting verse. We have time. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 16, Text Number 2. And because the text number 2 doesn't have a purport, we are going to read the text number 3 too. Yes? Only the translation. My dear Lord, the rolling wheels of Maharaj Priyavrata's chariot created seven ditches in which the seven oceans came into existence. Because of these seven oceans, Bhumandala is divided into seven islands. But you have given a very general description of their measurement, names, and characteristics. Now I wish to know of them in detail. Kindly fulfill my desire. Text number 3. When the mind is fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his external feature made of the material modes of nature, the gross universal form, it is brought to the platform of pure goodness. In that transcendental position, one can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, who is subtler from his self-effulgent and beyond the modes of nature. O my Lord, please describe vividly how that form, which covers the entire universe, is perceived. Purport by His Divine Grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Maharaj Parikshit had already been advised by the spiritual master, by his spiritual master, Sukadeva Goswami, to think of the universal form of the Lord. And therefore, following the advice of his spiritual master, he continuously thought of that form. The universal form is certainly material, but because everything is an expansion of the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ultimately, nothing is material. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj's mind was saturated with spiritual consciousness. Srila Rupa Goswami has stated, Prapachikatyabudya Hari Sambandhi Vastunaha Mumukshuvi parityago vairagyam falgu katyate. Everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, everything should be engaged in the service of the Lord. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur translates this verse as follows: Hari sevaya yatahaya anukula vishaya valya Tara Tyage Hayavula. One should not give up anything connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thinking it material or enjoyable for the material senses. Even the senses, when purified, are spiritual. When Maharaj Parikshit was thinking of the universal form of the Lord, his mind was certainly situated on the transcendental platform. Therefore, although he might not have had any reason to be concerned with detailed information of the universe, he was thinking of it in relation with the Supreme Lord, and therefore such geographical knowledge was not material but transcendental. Elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam 1.5.20, Narada Muni has said, Idam hi basham bhagavam ivetaraha. The entire universe is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although it appears different from him. Therefore, although Parikshit Maharaj had no need for geographical knowledge of this universe, that knowledge was also spiritual and transcendental because he was thinking of the entire universe as an expansion of the energy of the Lord. In our preaching work also, we deal with so much property and money and so many books bought and sold, but because these dealings are pertain to the Krishna consciousness movement, they should never be considered material. That one is absorbed in thoughts of such management does not mean that he is outside of Krishna consciousness. If one rigidly observes the regulative principle of chanting 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, his dealings with the material world for the sake of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Magyanati Mirandasya Yananjana Salakaya Chakshuru Militam Jana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Kangaloti Vatalam Pungunangayate Grim Takripa Yatkripatam Hambande Shri Guru Dinataranam. Okay. We used to interact with books in a superficial way, in a very superficial way. People in general used to interact with books. But with these books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Vedic literature, these books do not allow this. This superficial relationship. And there is a reason. Because the message of these books is so pure, so clear, and I like this word so much, so diaphanous. You know this word? No? Diaphanous? It's transparent. Yeah, it's like a window. The sun enter through this window, and this is diaphana, diaphanous. It's very clear knowledge. So you cannot pretend be a philosopher with these books. Maybe with other books, maybe with other philosophies, but with this message, you cannot play with this message. It's impossible. And for that reason, a lot of people accept this message and worship these books or reject these books. It's very simple. There is no intermediate level. Black or white. In Spanish we said, es blanco o negro, no hay grises. No, it's black or white, no gray. No gross, there is no gross sense gratification with these books. But also, the message and the knowledge of these books is very tasty too. But to taste, if we want to taste this knowledge, we need to pay the price. Raja Vidya, Raja Guyam. Do you remember this verse? Susukam kartum avyayam, the last line of the verse. Susukam is happy. This knowledge is very practical and is very, you can practice this knowledge in a happy mood and it's very tasty too. But you have to pay the price. If you want to enjoy the party, you have to pay the entrance, right? Nityananda Prabhu says, Sradavan Janahe Sradavanjanahe. Do you remember this song? Sradavan. The only that you need is faith. This is the only thing. Sraddha, faith. So this chapter is very interesting because it's a description of the universal manifestation, cosmic manifestation. But maybe you can spend a lot of money, a lot of time making videos, doing explanation about this, to explain that this part of the Bhagavatam is not a mythology, is not mythology. You can spend a lot of time or do a lot of explanation about this. But finally, it's all about faith. If you have faith, you accept this knowledge. It's very simple. And of course, the Srila Prabhupada purport this day, today, is very clear too. We can discuss two or three points about this verse today, and then we can finish the class. The first point is, do you remember Nectar of Devotion? One Srila Prabhupada explained or described the most basic principle in Krishna consciousness. And I'm not talking about the four regulative principles. I'm talking about another principle. Do you remember? Nectar of Devotion. ND. Spiritual Master. Yes, it's close. Yes, exactly. Acharyanista. Always remember Krishna. Never forget him. So here, Srila Prabhupada is describing that this universal form is another way to obtain this. Never forget Krishna, always remember. If we have this conscious about Krishna is in everywhere, in every part, we are following this principle very nicely. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, we hear about this verse. I know the verse in Spanish, but in English it's difficult. Everything rest upon me has pearls are strong on a thread. Exactly. So all this manifestation, the universal manifestation, cosmic manifestation, is part. It's come from the origin that is Krishna. Krishna is the source of all these manifestations. In the Sri Upanishad, we have another sentence. Virat, and the other thing is, Antaryami. Virat and Antaryami. Virat is when the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is out of everything. Anantaryami is when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is within all. In other words, in every atom, in every, everywhere. So is Srila Prabhupada described here that for that reason, everything, even that which is material, is connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we must to understand that it's spiritual too. Finally, it depends on the consciousness of the practitioner. To understand this. If we have material consciousness, we was reading the Srimad, the Bhagavad Gita in the afternoon classes, yes, chapter 16, the nature, the divine nature and demoniac nature, And it's very nice, this the description of the materialistic conscious. I hear one example, and for example, the men think in the with the material consciousness, think, I will conquer the world. I want to be more powerful than, I don't know, Obama, for example. I want to be more stronger than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I want to be more rich than Bill Gates. In the other way, she thinks in this way. She thinks, okay, letting him conquer the world, I'm gonna conquer him. And even the children think the same thing. We are going to control mommy and daddy. Everybody is thinking in this way. But, in the other hand, we have the transcendental position described by Narada Muni. And here is the second point that I want to share with you. The second point is the apparently contradiction between poverty and prosperity, and spirituality too. Srila Prabhupada describes here one situation. In our preaching work also, we deal with so much property and money. A lot of times, Srila Prabhupada was criticized for other persons, no? Other persons criticize Prabhupada. And if we search in the history of a man, we find this reality too. People criticize religious institutions because this apparent contradiction between poverty and spirituality, or between wealth and spirituality too. Have you ever been in South America? Travel to Latin America? Yes, you, Prabhu, and you. I come from there. And I was the experience that when I was a child, I studied in the Franciscan school. Practically all Latin America is very influenced by the Catholic religion, Christian religion, and especially the San Francis, no, the Franciscans. They have this value, no? Poverty as a sign of spirituality. And if you follow this poverty, no? Saint Francis was a saint, very known saint, well-known saint, austere, no? Was practically a sadhu. No? If you follow this poverty, you are more approached to the spirituality. And you find the if you go to the church in South America, some church, especially the Franciscan church, are very simple. No opulence in the temples. Very, very simple. And it's something like the Jnanis, no, in the Bhagavad Gita. Jnanis. They leave every material relationship. They go to the forest. They do austerities. They live in the poverty way. But in the other hand, if you travel here in the United States, or I was impressed when I arrived here, and I do Sankirtan some days, and I pass from walking on the street, you can see a lot of church, but no Catholic church, Protestant church. And that church are very opulent, no? If you compare the South American church and the United States church, are very opulent. You have organs there. You know organs? the instruments. It's very expensive instrument. And even my uncle used to travel to Roma, and he told me about the opulence of the Vatican, majestic structure, very high walls, no, enormous walls, marble floor. And I have a question for you. What about the Mayapur Planetary Project? What about, if you want to reduce the scale of this, what about the firehouse near here that we want to try to obtain to expand our activities? It is necessary or not? It's a contradiction. Because, for example, in Krishna consciousness, if you have wealth, this may be an obstacle for your spiritual advancement. So it's a contradictory topic. We need to resolve this. And Srila Prabhupada gave us the solution. The word is, the solution is, Yukta Vairagya. Not Falgu Vairagya, Yukta Vairagya. The devotees has a lot of tools to solve this apparently contradiction. First of all, do you remember this verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text Number 9? Dharmya hi apavargyasya. I remember the Spanish translation, but I can't remember the English translation. But it's something like, if you are engaged, a person who is engaged in devotional service should not use or utilize the material gain to sense gratification. The devotee knows this. It is up to the devotee of Krishna utilize everything for the service of the Lord. Everything. If you have wealth, you can utilize your wealth. If you are rich. If you are poor man, you can utilize your abilities. I don't know. No, you can utilize everything. We have our quota, assigned quota. Like Sri Upanishad said, you have an assigned quota. And here is another point, interesting point. Everybody is trying to increase his own quota. But this is impossible. I have a friend in Argentina. He works, guess what? He works from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Practically, he works 12 hours in the office. And I asked him, why you work so hard? And he told me, because if I work extra, I receive a bonus. But this is the most, this is very funny, because when the boss pay the bonus, the government automatically raise the taxes or the prices or different things. So this bonus is an illusion. It's an illusion. And I have another friend in Argentina, and he works 2 hours per day, nothing, in the computer. And he received a very big salary for that. And his parents are very rich. So everybody has his quota, his assigned quota. And in relation with this quota, we can serve, we can utilize these material elements for serve Krishna. And the most important thing to finish, the Lord Krishna, because he is the source of every energy, he is able to convert or transform material energy in spiritual energy, like the deities, for example. The deities, the iconoclasts criticize us because we do deity worship. You are worshipping deities, idols, or something like that. They say that. But they don't understand that the Lord is the source of every energy. And He can transform these energies by His will. The devotee, who is in the, situated in the proper consciousness, is able to do the same thing. Is able to do the same thing. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of a fourth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, I think that is text number 424, he said, the matter, when the matter is utilized, or you utilize the matter for the absolute, the cause of the absolute truth, regains his spiritual quality. In other words, the devotee is better than a magician. There are a lot of people trying to materializing things, but the devotee spiritualizes things. Chanting 16 rounds per day and doing, trying to be engaged 24 hours in the service of Krishna. And here is another, the last point. We can chant our 16 rounds every day, but if we, after that, we engage in superficial activities to gratify our senses, we cannot have the guarantee of the protection of Krishna. But if we chant the 16 rounds, as Prabhupada writes in this purport, and we add the 24 hours serving Krishna, trying to serve Krishna, we are in the most safety position. So this is some points that we can try to remember of this. This is very nice chapter. And if you want to do some commentary, if you have questions, or I hope that you get the general idea. So, because my English is not good, but I'm working in that. So, you have any comments or questions? If you don't have any comments or questions, I have an yes, bro.
So forth. Then he says that if one rigidly observes the regulative principles of chanting 16 rounds of the Maha Mantra every day, his dealings with the material world for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness movement are not different from the spiritual cultivation of Krishna consciousness.
Well, that's a very bold statement. Like there are several devotees who are full time, like you, and there are some devotees who come to the temple. They're also seriously following the basic 16 rounds and following four duty principles, but other time they just go to work or school.
Yes, they have
my
to.
My understanding
leave.
Is that that is at best karma yoga. And their bhakti yoga happens when they're in the temple. I use the word they, but it refers to me and a lot of
yes, people. There is a nice verse in the Bhagavad Gita, the Yad Karosi Yad Asnasi. Do you remember?
But in the purport or in the translation, someone says that refers to the karma yoga. That doesn't refer to bhakti yoga. That doesn't refer to the topmost pure devotion service. That refers to a devotee who can't really do unalloyed and uninterrupted devotion service. He needs some leeway, so he's doing karma yoga, karma mishrama bhakti.
Yes, we can analyze that categories of of devotional service in different grades or levels. But the finally, we must try to focus wherever that we do, whatever that we do or we have to do in this world, we must try to focus in the Krishna service, no? Gradually focus in the Krishna service. But yes, it's good point.
I guess what I was trying to say is here Prabhupada encourages people to go into the material world and be part of the society and get resources from outside to the temple. Whereas the general understanding is the more time you spend in the temple, the more direct services you do, they are more Krishna conscious. The others are karma mishram, but you're doing some kind of karma yoga, little for me and little for Krishna.
Yes, it's not about the place where you live. You can live outside of the temple or inside of the temple. And even our devotees that have a very nice consciousness living out of the temple, and I have the experience, some devotees have better consciousness than me, and I live here in the temple. So, we have practical experience of this. This is not, whatever our, it doesn't matter the position or the social role that we have to develop in this society. This is very simple. It's about the consciousness that we have. Yes.
Can I ask?
So, but then we can just talk about this. But I have an advice. Thanks for giving us your appreciation of this topic. And I have an advice, an announcement. We must to do cut vegetables for the Govardhan Puja tomorrow. So you are invited to join us in the kitchen. Yes. To practice this bhakti yoga. Okay, devotees, thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai.